And now we at last have come to our featured speaker today, Catherine Hamilton Wang, who's in charge of our Northwest Collections here at the Washington State Library and of our Library Events Coordinator. So she wears several hats too. And we've asked Catherine to talk about her work, and hopefully most of you have received a packet of bibliographies and bookmarks and other information that are produced by Catherine's program.
And maybe for the...
This is the operator, sorry to interrupt. I did try Janet Lyon again and got her voicemail. I did leave her a number if she got the message to call us when she's ready.
Thank you.
And I did find an alternate number and didn't even get an answer there.
Thank you. Thank you. You've been a trooper and done what you could.
Okay. If anybody is disconnected and needs to be put back on, did you want our number?
Yeah.
Does everyone have that?
Please give it to us.
It's area code 360-902-3310.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Say that one more time.
Sure.
Area code 360-902-3310.
And I did forget to say that we are recording our guest speakers portion of this, and we did record Heather Muller's last time database advertising program, and we will have those available on the computer if other staff members who weren't able to listen would like to listen to this part of the program. You can find out from us how you can do that. But now at last, Catherine, here you go.
Thank you. I want to thank you all for taking the time out to listen to this program today. I'm hoping to tell you a lot about our Washington Reads program, hoping you'll be able to interlibrary loan lots of the books that we have that I might introduce you to and that you'll be using our collection. Are most of you acquainted with Washington Reads? Do you have some idea what might be under the Washington Reads umbrella?
I think I do. Yeah, I know I've gotten materials from your program for my school.
Okay.
This is Carlotta, and yes, and I posted your posters and done displays.
Great. Well, how the Washington Reads program started, and it's grown, we have many things under it, but it began with the quarterly themes, and Jan Walsh started out with this quarterly theme, and each quarter she picked one adult, one children, and one young adult book on whatever topic she so chooses. The program began in the fall of 2003 on the 150th anniversary of the arrival of the Territorial Library. We were given $5,000 from Congress when we became a territory, which was very unusual. It was part of the Organic Act. So a library, the money for the library was there at the same time we became a territory. And Governor Stevens is who actually selected the books that went into the Territorial Library. We still have some of those books here at the State Library, and when we finally get a new Heritage Building, we're hoping to have them back on display. If any of you have been in our old facility in the Washington Room, we did have the books on display behind glass, and we're hoping to do a perhaps similar type thing in the new Heritage Building. Anyway, these books that Governor Stevens picked out were shipped around the Horn, and they arrived in Olympia 1 month before the governor. See, the library was first, even before the governor. Of course, the governor was doing other things. He was the surveying, the railroad survey, and he was the superintendent of the Indian Affairs and being territorial governor. So he had many hats, but it is fun to think that the books arrived, and these are globes as well. We have celestial and terrestrial globes that we have in our reading room. Those are still on display, so if you happen to get over here, you can take a peek at those in our reading room. So Jan kicked off the Washington Reads program with the theme of life in Washington Territory. But that's not the book that began the whole project. I was just wondering if Jan has mentioned it. Do any of you happen to know what is the book that inspired Jan to start her Washington Reads program?
No.
No?
No.
Nobody here either.
Oh. You're talking to me. It's a book called Seaman's Journal by Patricia Eubanks, and it's a wonderful book with beautiful illustrations all about that wedge-foot Newfoundland dog that accompanied the Lewis and Clark expedition. Anyway, Jan fell in love with this book. It's got a fabulous bookmark inside, gorgeous illustrations, and she wanted to use this as a Washington Reads. But you'll notice that you ever look at the chronology of the themes, that Lewis and Clark was not our first theme. So it was our second theme because we wanted to do life in Washington Territory. So that's what happened there. Jan is unique in that she does pick books at all three levels. Some other states have started doing their state reads, and they don't do it at the three levels. And that can be a challenge sometimes. It has to do little stretches sometimes. Usually you can get
three. Excuse me, Janet Lyon on the line.
Welcome, Janet. This is Susan. Catherine Commonwealth Langer is giving her talk about Washington reads.
Sometimes you have to do a bit of a stretch. Usually you can get two of the categories, like the children's and the adults, and you have trouble with the young adults or something like that, but it's always fun. In the packet that you were sent, it was on, I call it tan-colored paper, the three-year compilation. This is, we will soon be coming up on having done this for 4 years. Jan will have done this for 4 years, but you do have the three-year compilation, and on the front page it lists the different themes, and then you have these separate ones that are not in the three-year compilation who are behind that on the other different topics. Her topics, of course, have ranged from things like the Cadence of Washington, which do not include any recipe books. I didn't say there aren't some recipes in the books, but they aren't recipe books. And diversity and courage and Washington's native people. And I understand that many of you are from Eastern Washington, so I got permission from Jan to give you a sneak preview of what her Washington Reed topic and a couple of the books are for her upcoming Washington Reed. And it's going to be Jan and the Inland Empire. Now, when Jan picks these books, they all have to be in print. So sometimes people go, well, why wasn't this included? Well, maybe the book's no longer in print. Maybe it's gone out of print just in the time that she's been reading. Jan reads a tremendous number of books. She usually picks a theme, and then I have to throw all these different books at her, and I admire her for how much reading she does to plow through all of these books. My goal is that she cannot attend a meeting or anything without a book. I never want her to say, I don't have anything to read. Then I haven't been doing my job. We laugh about that. So she is doing Spokane and the Inland Empire. We're hoping that will roll out August the 15th. The posters are coming back from the printer, and it's a matter of whether we can get it up on our webpage. Jan's comments are waiting. They're in the queue to go up on the webpage, and hopefully they will go up on August the 15th. So I'll give you a little hint about two of the books. Do any of you know what book involves a donut maker who's in a witness
position?
You got it. That's on the list. Very good. And then,
this is Linda Dove. He's my cousin.
Oh, is he? Hey. We do
have another and I are first cousins.
Hey, all right.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. That book will be one of Jan. She's actually picked 9 titles this time. And for the first time ever, she has not picked the children's. We could not find an imprint children. But she said, I don't care. I've got 3 outstanding young adult books. She's been raving about those. So this will be the first time she doesn't have a children's one. But how many of you know what book unravels years later a murder case that took place in 1935 in Pend County?
Well, think about Blue. Yeah. Blue.
You're right. You're right. Breaking Blue,
yeah.
Kim Egan book. So those are two of the ones that will be on the list. And we do send a certificate to Jan and Sam signed to all of the authors and illustrators for the books. And we send them to the publishers as well. So in your packet, you've got a sampling of 3 of the different posters, so you can see we have changed the logo a bit over the years, just a sampling. We also sent you some of the bookmarks. Our first time, the one in Washington Territory, we did not do a bookmark, but you know, we've expanded and grown, things moved on, so that's what's happening there. If you have any suggestions for themes, we'd love to hear them. Sometimes it takes a while to get to them, such as the Olympic Peninsula. That was probably about a year and a half before Jan was finally able to work that one in. But if you have any suggestions, I'd love to hear them. Or you can email Sue Rand, and they can forward them on to me, and I can pass them on to Jan. Happy to do that. And for these books, we always buy two copies that circulate. So these books are available on interlibrary loan. And of course, they are in print, but you may not have them, you may not have the budget, you may not know whether it's appropriate for your clientele and your library. So please do interlibrary loan those from us. We welcome your interlibrary loans. And so have any of you... Do any of you read some of those Washington Reads and see them on the list or anything?
We can send you a packet. Anyone that didn't get one, let me know. As far as Tech State, I want that packet, and I'll send you one.
Another thing that's under the Washington Reads umbrella are what we're... They're called Washington Reads posters, but they're more like the celebrity or Washingtonian posters. And we've had three produced so far. The first one was of Secretary of State Sam Reed with his two grandchildren. And then the next one was Casey Kane, the NASCAR driver from Enumclaw. And then we've had the letters about literature. And I'll explain a little bit more about letters about literature in a few minutes. But you can sign up to get any of those posters on the State Library webpage under the Washington Reads link. Coming soon, I'm getting another sneak preview here, you lucky people. We have pictures already taken for these next three, and the two of the posters should be coming out at the end of August, beginning of September, and then the other one, it may be the beginning of the year. But we have Bonnie Dunbar. Bonnie Dunbar, the former astronaut, and she's now the director of the Museum of Flight. And we have this year's Letters About Literature winners. And this year, we have them from Bainbridge Island, Mercer Island, and Tacoma, where the winners are from. Last year's winners were from Spokane, Olympia, and Camino Island. And then the one that it may be a little bit, we've taken the pictures, but it's not as far along, is we've got a picture coming of the University of Washington volleyball star Courtney Thompson. She's also a USA Olympic hopeful. I've seen a preview of these pictures, and they're going to be really nice posters for all of them. It's going to be really good.
These are free posters. They're big size and smaller size if you want to request them later.
That's right, Sue. We are finding most people prefer the small size, so we're going to be going with a bigger number of the small size ones for it. And so I said I'd mention a little bit about the Letters About Literature. That is a program that we do with the schools, although it's done through public libraries, but it is where children from grades 4 through 12 write a letter to an author. The author does not have to be alive. They need to tell us how that particular book that the author wrote influenced their lives. So it's not a book report. It needs to be a much more personal essay. And these are sent back to the National Letters About Literature program. They are screened there, and then they send them back to us, a smaller sampling, and we have judges who then select them for the three categories, sort of elementary, junior high, and high school. That's not quite right. You can read more about that on the page, and the person in charge of that here at the State Library is Shirley Lewis. And you are welcome to email her, or Susan or myself can take questions to Shirley about that. That will be gearing up again in the fall when school starts. Well, I thought you might be interested in how the Washington Reads program and Jan jumping into her quarterly teams might have influenced our Northwest collection. Our Northwest collection does circulate. I know that is unlike some of the other bigger public libraries where they have one that does not circulate. So keep that in mind. Again, you can interlibrary loan any of these. And how has it changed us is we now buy Northwest fiction and Northwest children's books. And this meant we had a lot of buying we had to do to catch up on all of these good books that we had missed. We define the Northwest as being Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Western Montana, British Columbia, and then some of the Yukon and some of Alaska. So things that have a connection to Washington State or what used to be Washington Territory. And of course, Washington Territory used to include all of what is today Idaho and part of Montana. So that's why we keep in that big, huge focus, and we want to keep the Yukon in there because of Klondike and Alaska, Native Americans and the railroad surveys and again more of the gold rushes and things like that. So we do keep, we're in flux, we're not here in isolation, so we do try and purchase more broadly. Some of the bibliographies that have come out of the Washington Reed, and again, some of these have been influenced by Jan's selections and also by how we've had to do different things for Jan's Washington Reed. I believe I included, some of the whodunits. Jan, in the last fall, she did Mysteries in the State of Washington. Well, in order to have her look at all these mysteries in the state of Washington, we put together a bibliography of whodunit in Washington State. That you can download from our blog. It's a little too big. We thought to send to everybody, but we then connected some breakouts. And so I sent you the whodunit in Spokane, which I believe is on green paper for you, and whodunit in San Juan Islands, which is on sort of orange paper, and then there's a kid's whodunit in Washington State, and these have all proved to be very, very popular, and what triggered doing them was that Jan wanted to do a mystery in Washington, and this is how he had to dig them out. And then since we hadn't done a lot of children's lines, that's where we came up with this Go West Young Reader bibliography, and that we, coming soon, will be a supplement to that. That's not quite big. I think that's around 58 pages at the moment. And so people, they look, I know different libraries are using that as a purchasing tool. So we decided to come up with a supplement, and then we'll combine it probably with some things so it's all in one list eventually. But these people can look at the supplement. And the supplement are just new ones that are they're new to us that we have acquired. We'll also, a couple of other bibliographies that are coming up, we're updating the Romp with Pomp. Do anybody know who Pomp is? If I say Lewis and Clark, do you know who Pomp is?
Secretary of
Pomp. You got it.
Yeah, is that right?
You are correct. Yes. Pomp was the nickname that Captain Clark gave to Secretary of Sun, which was Jean-Baptiste Charbonneau was his real name. So we decided to call all of the books that we've purchased having to do with the children's books that have to do with Lewis and Clark. We called that bibliography Romp with Pomp, and we will be updating that. A new one of those will be out this fall. And we're also in the midst of, we've been working towards 200 books, 200 years, a big Lewis and Clark bibliography. We have come up with the 100 books, and we have 35 towards our 150. We're doing it kind of in increments. And so supposed to give me 15 more titles. We're working with the Lewis and Clark Trail Heritage Foundation, the Washington chapter, and also the Governor's Lewis and Clark Committee. And they are selecting the titles in this case that go on it, and then we're making sure that we have them, that we have copies that are available for interlibrary loan where appropriate. One of the handouts that we gave you is a listing of the different bibliographies that we do have available that are on our blog. It is on a yellow sheet of paper, and that does have the Lewis and Clark and the Go West Young Reader, and you can download any of those from our blog.
And Catherine, if I could just interrupt, I think there were some latecomers who probably didn't get the packets. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And would you drop Susan or myself an email if you would like to have a packet? And we'll mail you one, that, the packet that Catherine is referring to.
A bibliography and things.
It probably would make more sense if he had a packet in front of you. We were trying to keep them all the same color so that I could at least refer to things by the right color as I was able to talk with him. In the packet, there is also one sheet that's a sampling. Let me see. It's a fiction set in the Northwest, a sampling of titles from the Washington State Library. And that we didn't put the call numbers on it, but we do own all of those. You can look them up, you know, in our catalog. And we have another little sneak preview. Very soon we're going to have a Western set in the Northwest sampling page. We are beginning to do some of these sort of one-sheet samplings. And again, all of these are available on interlibrary loan. So you know, you don't have to purchase them yourself. You can use our collection or take a look at our books, see whether they're appropriate for your collection. Hopefully you would do that. If you had wanted to look up Northwest Books, I know sometimes people like to browse. Browsing a Northwest collection when you're not here in person can be a little bit of a challenge, but I'll give you the secrets to how you can do that. If you do a Dewey search, and you go in and you put NW for Northwest, because all of our Northwest circulating books have the prefix NW on them, and then for all of our fiction books, they are in like 813.54 or 813.6. No, we don't have a separate fiction collection. We're a little bit odd in that way, and I realize it's a little bit frustrating for people, and also for some of the authors, say J.A. Jantz, for example. She, of course, has published books pre-2000 and after 2000, which is why some of her books are in the Northwest 813.54, and the rest after 2000 are in 813.6. I foresee my crystal ball tell me that at some point in the future this will be changed, but not right now. We don't have the space to set up another collection, a fiction collection, but my guess is at some point. But when people come in and they say, well, you have no fiction, and they say, hey, yes, we do. Here, let me show you. Take them on over there. A couple other things in the packet that I'd like to point out. We do occasionally highlight some of our newer acquisitions, and the two that we put in, the collection highlights, we put in as a Pullman primer, it's a travel brochure piece from circa 1911, and so we wrote up that one. That one has not been digitized. And the other one, which has been digitized, is Washington Territory, hailed as the Pennsylvania of the West. Don't you love it? Mm-hmm. We're equated with Pennsylvania. I don't know. So that one has been digitized, and you will find that in our classics. Now, Marla Trudeen, who's our deputy director here at State Library, is in charge of the digitization people, and she has all sorts of different things that they are digitizing. They are doing books, they are doing maps, they are doing travel brochure type things. And there were a couple of handouts in what was in your packet. One of them is the Women's Voices. We put this together for a Women's History Month, which was last March. So there's some of the things that are digitized. And, you know, you can search these, but one of the marvels about this is that you can search these. So if you have a genealogist or somebody who's looking for something obscure about some little town that doesn't exist, you can throw it in. You can search all of the classics in Washington that are on the class webpage, or you can search just one of the titles. Either way, so it's quite handy. And then we included one of the write-ups about the map. I think it was the Olympic Peninsula map. Yes, the Olympic Peninsula map is what we did for that.
You probably know when Catherine says digitized, she means that the actual text is on the computer screen, and if you get history students to come in, they can actually look at these books.
Correct. Yes. They can look at them. Now, some of the reprints have come out, but some of these are ones that probably nobody's circulating except for a reprint, but we've digitized the old books, and so they can actually see the text and they can actually search the text, which is what's really unique.
And we've digitized some of the maps.
Yes.
And my understanding is we now have a cataloger who is working on cataloging maps, so they're going to be in our catalog.
Right. A lot of our maps are uncataloged at the moment, and they are working to catalog them and to encapsulate them and unroll them and triage for the map collection has been a bit neglected over the years here, but it would be great to have them in our catalog and accessible. And that will bring more candidates for digitization as well. Now the final part of your packet, I have a list of some of the DVDs that are available from our events. In the last couple of years, many of our speakers at the State Library events have allowed us to tape them. And this has allowed us to edit them and then we put them out, and they are available for interlibrary loan. So you can show these to your history club, your genealogy club, whatever. You don't have to worry about public performance rights on these. The speakers all agreed that these could be used in a public setting, so you don't have to worry about breaking copyright law by using it in a public performance center setting. So that's another thing that you might want to do for programming at your own library. You could run this at lunchtime or some evening, one of the programs that we had here. The final three from last season are still in the process of being done, I can tell you that. I'll give you a couple of sneak previews of a couple of upcoming events that we're hoping to have. We're hoping to get the MacArthur Fellowship Award-winning poet, Lucia Perillo. She actually lives here in Olympia. Her most recent book that she just came out with, Birds of Vulture Singing, and her one that won a lot of awards, her last book was Luck is Luck. We're also hoping to get this season, Mary Greenwald. And Carolyn, you've told me that this is a really good speaker, and I've heard wonderful things about her. She's an 81-year-old lady, and her book is Looking Like the Enemy, My Story of Imprisonment in Japanese-American Internment Camp. Understanding is that she is from Vashon Island, or grew up on Vashon Island. I have not had a chance to read the book yet, so I'm relying on others for that information. Well, I'd be happy to entertain any of your questions. Hope you have a better understanding of some of the Washington Reads program and what might be available to you. I welcome any of your questions.